Welcome, listeners, to this abbreviated broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, I'm with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related interests or needs. If you'd like to get on the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. I'm going to start off today's show kind of picking up where we left off last week, and one of the callers called in about we were talking about training in relevant to concealed carry licensees, and he mentioned that there's some discrepancy between the training levels of law enforcement obviously there's now no mandated requirement for any training after the initial after you initially obtain your CHL. They had in the previous version of the law gave some vague language, which I think caused more problem than it did good when they said they were going to have to demonstrate competency for their second renewal. However, there was no clarification as to what demonstration of competency was, and then several organizations moved to have that stricken from the law, and the last version of the law took the demonstration of competency out. And Mark and I were talking last week about some of the issues related to that, and I want to see what you think. I'd like you to give us a call today and tell us what you think about concealed holder licensees being required to demonstrate competency for renewal. Pro or con, and I want to hear your opinions and see what you have to say. My personal feeling is I think it's a good thing. The problem is I think we need to define what demonstration of competency is. In my mind, it should be a situation. It shouldn't be very long and complicated. It shouldn't take probably more than 10 to 15 minutes. Individuals should just be able to demonstrate that they can safely unload if they come to the range in a carry situation, unload their firearm, demonstrate to the instructor that the gun is safe, and then go through the protocol for reloading and charging the weapon, and then a short course of fire, and maybe even talk to them and have them demonstrate how to take care of any likely malfunctions if it was for a revolver or a semi-automatic pistol. But if they would standardize those procedures, I think that it would go a long way to add credibility. And I think from the standpoint of potential litigation, it's almost critical that we come up with some sort of demonstration of competency because, you know, having been in law enforcement for 30 years, when officers are involved in incidents, whether it's driving, firearms, self-defense, personal safety, first aid, whatever the case is, one of the biggest issues when you get up on the stand is you got to talk about your training and your competency through your training. And I think that's going to obviously spill over into the civilian world. And it's just something that I think that we need to look at. And I think we need to think long and hard. And I know the one caller last week was saying, and I have to agree with him, when they're watering down the requirements for law enforcement and they're not tightening or making tougher the standards for private security, it's real hard to get us to get a standard for civilians. But I think we still need to think of this in a very, I think in the simplest way. And that's it. If you, even though having a firearm is a Second Amendment issue, it's a right that's granted to you through the constitutional provision. With rights go responsibilities, and I would hope that people will seek the training even in the interim. If we never have an establishment of a demonstration of competency, I would hope that individuals will take it upon themselves to seek out training to develop competency on their own.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. I think one of the major problems, and you hit on it briefly at the beginning, is that there was no standard even for issuance of the license other than the amount of time spent in the range and the amount of time spent in the classroom. And there are a few things that are in a model curriculum that are supposed to be covered, but there's no real objective test for competency. In other words, these are the things that you have to be able to go through in order to prove that you are competent with your handgun, whatever that would be. Either I was reading through the Illinois law that's passed but not yet signed, and a lot of the things in there are like they have an actual course of fire. You have 30 rounds. It's at these distances, and you have to have a certain percentage. And something like that would make a competency standard at least meaningful. And what we have right now, what we had before, and what we have for the recertification, what we have right now for the issuance of the license really doesn't include that. We need to take a break and go back into the news center. If you'd like to be part of this discussion, call the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number in here, and we will get you on the air and let you give your views on this subject as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. And right before the break, we were talking about the training requirements that we're kind of advocating, and we want to hear from our listeners what they think in reference to the concealed holder license, either renewals or it basically deals with renewals. What kind of training requirement from a practical standpoint do you think we should have? And then there's some other issues that spin off that when we're talking about reciprocity with other states. States are going to look at what we do, and we do have one of the more, thorough requirements as far as training goes relative to concealed carry. I know that the situation in Illinois kind of brought all this about, and there's already been some people who have questioned us about the applicability of the training here in Ohio relevant to Illinois, and we can't answer that question yet because they haven't spelled out all the provisions. But safe is to say that I think we need to revisit and come up with some standards, officially or unofficially. And by that, I mean, I don't want to wait until some governing body, maybe moved by the emotion of a particular incident, is going to specify what we have to do. I think that individual gun owners can set their own standards. And certainly we at Sim Trainer advocate periodic practice. And by periodic practice, my definition of that is I tell people when they ask me how often should I shoot, I think a minimum of 50 rounds once a month is sufficient for most people who develop a skill. And that's after they've had pretty significant training in the front end, not just the CHL course, but they've demonstrated significant competency in use of the firearm, and then they do periodic 50 round a month training, or better yet, in many cases, just because of the way frequency affects your ability to, if you can go two times a month, shoot 50 rounds, or two times a month and only shoot 25 rounds. I know a lot of factors enter into your training regimen. It could be budget. Ammunition is expensive. Time. People don't have time available due to their busy schedules with their work and their recreational activities and their children and other responsibilities that they have. So a lot of things enter into that whole process. But I think it's important to note that you have to sit down yourself and say, what's it worth to me to be competent to the point where I tell people your competence needs to be such that you shouldn't even have to think about the functional operation of the gun. And you should just go through the mental process that's involved in trying to determine whether or not deadly force is involved in a particular situation. I don't want that to be the time you're trying to remember what that little lever in the top of the slide is and how it works and what its function is.
There's something else I would add to that, and I was going to say the same thing that you just mentioned about 25 twice a month would be even better than 50 once a month. But sometimes when people get behind the power curve and they say, well, you know, I've been really busy, I haven't had a chance to get to the range for a few months, it doesn't help you to then go to the range and shoot 250 rounds and say, well, now I've caught up, because that's not what does it. But what you can do is find a safe place in your home, dry out your gun, double check, triple check to make sure it's unloaded, get some snap caps, and then go through some drills to work on the functional operation. You know, it's not really the shooting that's the hard part. We say this repeatedly in the classes that we teach. The shooting is the easy part of how to go through the concealed carry class, for example. The hard part is making sure that all of those things that you have to do in order to get your gun ready to shoot, to clear a malfunction, to reload and get back on target immediately when you have the gun runs dry or you have some other kind of a problem that you need to correct and get going. All of those things and making those automatic is what really is valuable. And you can do a lot of that without ever firing the gun by using snap caps or dummy rounds. And then going through all of those motions and practicing them, looking at yourself in the mirror and watching to make sure your form is correct, using yourself as your target, because that gives you, again, the practice of finding a human target, which, yes, it's you, and yes, you're not actually shooting at anybody, but it helps with the mental preparation for the violent encounter at the point that you're really going to need to do that. It's not going to be completely new. And when I say find a safe place to do that, I mean you're finding a place where if for some reason your clearing process was not correct and the gun actually did go off, the bullet would go someplace that it would not cause any harm. Might be inconvenient, put a hole in the wall or whatever, but nobody's going to get hurt. You know,
Mark brings up a number of points, and one thing I want to mention, just target selection. There's people out there who they just shoot round targets that have rings on them, and that's one thing. That's kind of at the base level. And then you go...
And that's really good if what you're trying to do is correct accuracy issues.
Yeah, and even more... precise than that is when you're looking at actually preparing your mind for combat, you have to change your target selection. You know, we go from you may start with a target like that just for getting basic accuracy, but then you might go to what I think is the most effective training target at all is our SCB target that gives you some squares and some different shapes, and you have to get used to transitioning the gun from one target to the next, and you can use the different shapes that come on the target at different distances. Then you have to go to a real human silhouette. And the way this progresses, just last week in the Tuesday Night Tactical League, it played out. Typically, we will use a variety of different targets. Many of them are human silhouette targets, and they might be all blue, they might be all tan, they might be all white, whatever the case might
be. But they're mostly just outlines.
Yeah, last week we had realistic targets, meaning realistic-looking, basically photographs of human beings with firearms or without, and some of them with innocent people in the scenarios, and people had to go through the course of fire, and many of them struggled, and some of them came up to me and said, wow, I haven't done that in so long, and some said, I've never done that before, and that was just something to me, and I had a brain void, and that's where, when we talk about training, it's one thing to go to the range and just shoot bullets and, you know, bring your target out and say, wow, I put 50 rounds in a hole the size of a tennis ball. That's great, and for proficiency, if you're practicing for precise proficiency, maybe you just want to be a longer distance target shooter, that's wonderful, but I would rather see you use a couple of different targets and where you have to actually transition from one side of the target to the other, and maybe all your shots aren't as precise as you think they should be because you're speeding up the pace in between shots and challenging yourself to get better under shorter time. People come to us all the time and say, hey, we want advanced training. We want you to teach the super mega advanced shooting course that, you know, is kind of the pinnacle of our shooting career. And I tell them, well, look, here's the deal. I'm not going to do a whole lot different than we did in first shots or in basic handgun. All I'm going to do is put you under increasingly challenging circumstances and have you apply the basic fundamentals that we teach in all of our classes.
The fundamentals are the fundamentals. They don't change.
Period. That's all it is. And they kind of look at us kind of dumbfounded sometimes until they get out there in the basic classes. And just last time we had the move and shoot class, they were all excited about it and some were apprehensive, and we get out there and as we were talking, you know, we tell them you only move as fast as you can shoot accurately, but all the basic fundamentals of handling the gun are identical the same. And they're like, oh, really? And then after we took a break after an hour and a half on the range, and they're like, wow, that's true. All we're doing now is we're moving a little bit faster each time, and we're challenging ourselves, and now we're actually shooting at moving targets and moving to cover and utilizing the cover to the maximum advantage and moving to another cover point while the targets are moving or popping or whatever the case is.
And the first time somebody's done that, they walk out on an adrenaline high because it's stressful, but it's exciting because you realize very quickly as you're going through this, these are skills I might need to use someday, and I can apply that kind of exercise, that kind of training specifically to what I can envision as I go through a scenario that I'm playing through in the theater of my mind, saying, okay, I've gone into this place and I'm looking around and I'm just trying to make a plan for what would happen if bad things occurred, and where would I go and what would I do and where would be a good place for cover? Is there any? Probably not. Okay, what could I use for concealment? How would I effectively get there? And all of those things then come together when you actually do some of that. Now you can apply that in your scenarios as you're saying, well, what would I do in this situation? Very important to do that because it helps you prepare for a situation that you can't know exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, we many times people come to the league, they see the scenarios, and we actually put no shoots and shoot targets downrange, and because they're concerned about how would I perform in a real situation where there were other innocent people, like in a active shooter situation where there were one shooter and multiple innocent people, how would I do? Well, we let them actually experience that. We explain to them they're going to have to maneuver differently, they're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive in the way they shoot, and it will be a challenge to them, but the fundamentals of grip, sight alignment, trigger control are all the same the whole time. It's just a matter of positioning themselves properly and making sure they get the right angles and moving their body and being able to shoot on the move, maybe retreating diagonally to cover, moving forward in a diagonal fashion to avoid if there's no cover immediately available, just getting themselves in a moving situation, because in the wide open situation, we tell them you can move a little bit, but the best cover is an accurate shot. So we want them to quickly get that shot off. But I think the big thing is for individuals, and this show is a promotion or an advertisement for what we do at Sim Trainer. We're very proud of the things we do there. But one thing I will promise you, and this has played out time and time again with shooters who have had little to no experience to the people who shoot a whole lot and they come for just some fine tuning. By the time you take our handgun level 1 through 5 at the end of that class, and then you start exposing yourself, and I say that in a truthful manner, exposing yourself to the Tuesday Night Tactical League and seeing how you implement the things you've learned and practice week in and week out, the things you've learned in handgun 1 through 5, you make tremendous strides. And I can think of many people, the winner of the last league, for example, he's only been shooting about a year and a half, and he was the winner. He had the high score in the average of the eight sessions that we had this last in the summer league, and he's done a great job, and it's characteristic of many of our shooters.
It's a matter of having practiced and going through those fundamentals and practicing them, not just when you come to the league, although frankly 50 shots once a week, I mean, that's excellent practice if you're able to do that and willing to come do that, and you're doing it under stress, which magnifies the value of having done it. As one of the things that it's been a really excellent opportunity for people to really ramp it up. And we've had a lot of people come in who carry firearms professionally, and the first couple of times they do that, they're a little bit intimidated by what it is that goes on. And those who stick around really improve their game. We need to take our last break. So if you'd like to be in the last few minutes we have left in the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll try to get your comments in on this as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and we're talking about training and how you can better prepare yourself for and concealed carry and for ultimately getting in a confrontation. And I want to just continue by mentioning there's a couple other things that we at Sim Trainer recommend. And one of the things, in addition to periodic practice, is we do a two-shot drill whereby you have to only load two rounds into the gun at a time, and then you load it, you charge it. Actually, you load it, you tug on the magazine, you charge the weapon, you get your good two-handed grip, you present to a two-handed point shoulder shooting position, get your sight signed up, fire two shots, and then you have to go through that protocol again. And you can practice emergency reloads, you can practice administrative reloads. Mark alters the course of fire and does 3-1 instead of 2-2, just to kind of encourage the administrative reload, which is very important to be able to know how to do in the event that you would ever need to do that. And I don't have the time today to go over all the details, but there's just another way. Instead of just loading up your magazines, if you had a Glock 17, for example, it holds 15 rounds. 17. If you loaded 15, 15, 15, and 5, you don't only load, charge, and make ready 4 times, whereas if you load 2 each time, you're going to do it 25 times. And even if you did it 5 each time, you're going to load, charge, and make ready 10 times, which is going to give you more practice doing the tougher things that are harder to learn.
Jeff's not a Glock guy, so the 17 actually has a 17-round magazine. So just before we get all the calls coming in and email and so forth, so yeah.
But high cap, regardless of what it would be. My point is that whether it's a 19-round magazine or a 12-round mag, don't load it to capacity and waste the opportunity to get practice in what is many times the more critical skill. And the other thing I want to mention is make sure you end your session with the gun that you carry. There's many of us who love to go to the range and shoot 3, 4, 5 different guns. Maybe you throw a rifle in there. Somebody just got a new gun and they're sharing it with you because that's part of the camaraderie of being affiliated with a shooting range. But I want to encourage you to end your shooting session shooting your gun, because your brain will remember most what it has done last. And that is particularly relevant where in Mark and I's case, I carry a Sig Sauer that's a double action, single action, and Mark carries a Glock, which is a safe action, same action. It's fun to shoot. I love it. It has a great trigger. Glock set the standard for semi-automatic pistols several years ago, and they've maintained it. However, when I get myself in a situation, I want to make sure my brain is tuned in to that double action, single action. That played out the other day. We had a shooter that came to the range, and when she had a gun that she was fairly decent with, but it was a double action, single action gun, and that first round was difficult for her because she hadn't thought through the process and the difference, because she said she always would just load mode and charge and leave the hammer back and shoot that first round in double action mode, not thinking that that's going to be carried in double action mode, and that's going to be her first shot every time out of the holster.
Right, and in fact, a lot of people just throw that first round knowing they can't hit the target with it, and that's just, I mean, it's, you can't afford to do that in a self-defense situation. You need every round to count.
Right, and I just want to get people to understand that this idea of throwing rounds away just to get to the easier trigger pull, that makes absolutely no sense. Train yourself, and the easy way to train yourself in that two-shot drill is you fire the first shot double action, the second shot single action. Then when you reload, you decock, and then you fire the first round double action and the second round single action. If you do five-shot drills, you do it the same way. First shot's going to be double action. The next four will be single action. You reload, and you go from there.
And also along with that is to push out to the target. So when you do that, decock and come to the low ready or down near the holster. If a lot of places won't let you draw from the holster during recreational shooting time, but you come down to the low ready, and then when you start mentally, you're pushing out to the target, getting your sight picture and slack out smooth press. That's exactly what you're going to need to do. The more you practice it that way, the more effective you'll be when you really need it. Well, this has been kind of a short show because of the tragedy out at the Dayton Air Show, and our hearts go out to the people, the families of those people, and those who were out there. Be with us next week. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.